Ladies and gentlemen, Lenny Bruce.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like this? We had no pants on. Ta-da! The Ecumenical Council has given the Pope permission to become a nun. Just on Fridays, though. So. I can't work with this thing. Isn't that funny? Went backstage, I really loved it, and I fooled around with it, and then, but I can't, it's too, I'll work around it. Does it look religious? It looks sort of religious, doesn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, the president. Yeah. That's it. That's faith and goodness. And veneer. There's more churches and people that work for the church than I think there are courthouses and judges. So actually what it is, Catholicism is like Howard Johnson. And what they have are these franchises. And they give all these people different franchises in the different countries, but they have one government, and when you buy the Howard Johnson franchise, you can apply it to the geography, whatever's cool for that area. And then you, you know, pay the bread to the main office. And you have to, you know, keep a certain standard, which is cool. But it is definitely a government by itself. And I think that's what we're doing in Vietnam. Because the communists are a threat to those jobs. That's where it's at, you know. And I think that's what it's always been, that those two factions are always bitching and fighting with each other. And so actually we have the Catholic government inside our government, and they have this bitch with the communists because they're always fighting over the work, you know, and then they, when they take over, they do them out of their gig. So what happens is that, because, you know, Catholicism is like, is here, and the people who work for it are here. And that's another big problem, the people can't separate the authority, and the people have the authority vested in them. I think you see that a lot in the demonstrations. Because actually the people are demonstrating, not against Vietnam, they're demonstrating against the police department. Actually against policemen. Because they have that concept of the law, that the law and the law enforcement are one. And it started, said, well, we have to have some rules. That's how the law starts, out of the fact. Let's see. I tell you what we'll do. We'll have a vote. We'll sleep in area A. Is that cool? Okay, good. And we'll eat in area B. Good? Good. We'll throw our crap in area C. So everything went on pretty cool, you know, everybody's very happy. One night, everybody's sleeping. Guy woke up, pow, got a face full of crap. He said, hey, what's the deal here? I thought we had a rule. He says, eat, sleep, and crap, and I was sleeping, and I got a face full of crap. So they said, well, the rule was substantive. That's what the 14th Amendment is. It regulates the rights, but it doesn't do anything about it. It just says that's where it's at. We'll have to do something to enforce the provisions, to give us some teeth. Here's the deal. If anybody throws any crap on us while we're sleeping, they get thrown in the crap house. Agreed? Because, well, everybody? Yeah, but what about if it's my mother? You don't understand. Your mother will be the fact. That has nothing to do with it. It's just a rule. Eat, sleep, and crap. Anybody throws any crap on us, they get thrown right in the crap house. Your mother doesn't enter into it. Everybody's mother gets thrown in the crap house. Priests, rabbis, they all go. Agreed? Okay, agreed. Okay, now we're going along very cool, huh? guy sleeping, pow, into the face full of crap. Now he wakes up, he sees he's all alone, this guy. And he looks and everybody's having a big party. He says, hey, what's the deal? I thought we had a rule, eat, sleep, and crap, and you just threw a face full of crap on me. They said, oh, it's a religious holiday. And we told you many times that you're going to live your indecent life and sleep all day. You deserve to be thrown crap on you while you're sleeping. If you want to sleep all day, and the guy said, bullshit. The rule's the rule, and this guy started to separate the church and the state right down the middle. Pow! Here's the church rule, and here's the federalist rule. Okay, everything's going on very cool. And the guy said, hey, wait a minute. Although we made the rule, and how are we going to get somebody to throw somebody in the crap house? We need somebody to enforce it. Law enforcement. Okay. Now they put the sign up in the wall, and you wanted law enforcement. Guys apply for the job. Look, here's our problem. See, we're trying to get some sleep, and people keep throwing crap on us. Now, we want somebody to throw them right in a crap house. And I'm delegated to the hiring here, and so here's what the job is. You see, they won't go in the crap house by themselves. And we all agreed on the rule now, and we firmed it up, so there's nobody gets out of it. Everybody's vulnerable. They go throw them right in the crap house. But you see, I can't do it because I do business with these assholes. And it looks bad for me, you know. So I want somebody to do it for me, you know. So I tell you what, here's a stick and a gun and you do it. But wait till I'm out of the room. And whenever it happens, see, I'll wait back here and I'll watch, you know. And you make sure you kick him in the ass and throw him in there. Now, you'll hear me say a lot of times that it takes a certain kind of mentality to do that work, you know, and all that bullshit, you know, but you understand it's all horseshit and you just kick him in the ass and make sure it's done. So it happens that now comes the riot or the marches. Everybody's wailing and blah, 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 blah. Now you got a cop there who's standing with a short sleeve shirt on and a stick in his hand. And the people yelling Gestapo at him. Gestapo, you asshole, I'm the mailman. Gestapo. Now, what it is, I think, is that people really want to beat the devil. Where that started was with the early missionaries, you know. I think they didn't really, that's why the people never could really separate the authority and the people, the authority vested in them. Because, you know, with the savages, you know, they would teach them the religion, and after the speech, the savage would go, well, are you God? Said, well, no, but, the hell, you know, just, well, never mind that, and, I can do you a favor, you do me a favor, that's all. And that's, I think, a hang-up in our country right now, is that, because you always hear that kind of a story about the peace officer who pulled the speeder over, and the speeder turned out to be the governor. And he had the audacity to give him a ticket. So the fact that people repeat that story so much, that means that people don't believe that the governor could ever get a ticket, man. So then it's just the degree of the law that the governor could break. That means he can kick in the ass or anything, but it's bullshit. It's really not that way. Because everybody's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's ass is up for grabs. It's really a groovy system. And I think that, well, the problem I had a long time with understanding the law is because of the language in the law and the fact that instead of taking each word and finding out the case that the word related to, once in a while I get lazy and I would apply common sense. And then I got really screwed up. Yeah. And it's really weird. Like, I went to the Supreme Court 3 times trying to get a writ of mandamus. They kept sending it back to the clerk and they keep saying, and what the language said, append a copy of the order in respect of which the writ is sought. I keep sending this copy of the lower court. They keep sending me back. We told you to send the copy in respect of which the writ is sought. Then I dug. In respect of which, they use the word of, like I use the word to. And respect of means this kind of respect. In respect of it. So what they want to the Supreme Court is we want our judgment that these cats should respect us. Now the Supreme Court, right now there's some bullshit now with obscenities. There's an obscenity circus that's been going on for about 5 years. And I think that, I really can't believe that that it's not settled yet. You know, it's just an illiterate view of the law is that what's obscene is dirty screwing and fancy screwing. And if a guy can tear off a piece of ass with class, then he's cool. But if the author depicts factory workers who are not expertise with stage shows, then it's obscene, which is just nonsense. A lot of confusion maybe with the obscenity laws is this. Is that the judges that are confused with it just didn't read, that's all. Here's how it works. If a guy gets busted, see, and he raises a federal question and the appellate court answers it, that answer is mine and yours. That's equal protection from the law. That decision that one court, so in 1933, when a judge got Ulysses try to come in the country, you dig? And the customs and tariff people said, you can't bring a book in, you can't come in the country, it's obscene. So these people said, no, we want the book to come in and we want to knock off the injunction to restrain, and they moved forward. And the judge said, okay, I'm going to read the book, but I'm not going to apply this Hickman rule anymore. The Hickman rule says that we should judge this book by the portion of it, to the guy who gets horniest quickest, the most corruptible mind in the community. I think, said this judge, we should apply the man, the average man, the reasonable man, the man with the normal average sex instincts. Dang that test. The man with the normal average sex instincts to that cat. Then they add the balance. Contemporary to his average age. So to the guy, the average sex instinct to his average age, his society, that's where we'll test it. So that means that rule, when any judge has to judge any work, he always has to apply that rule first. No, that was cool. Now it goes, they said, well, we better narrow it because what's happened here is that there's a lot of works of art that may get people horny. And there's a Los Angeles ordinance now, 1961, this guy got busted behind. And the judge said, I don't need any art critics. I know it's obscene. But the judge didn't know in that local court that that wasn't the question the guy was asking. He said, this ordinance is unconstitutional because it doesn't have knowingly in it. And that's the principle of the whole American law system, your intent. So how could I know it, schmuck, when these people told me in the book jacket that this is art? So it doesn't, the intent has to be there. So the lower court said bullshit, and the Supreme Court said bullshit to the lower court. And that's when I started getting into trouble. Because from 61 on came the argument between petulant lower court judges and the Supreme Court and spoiled rotten DAs. When they lost the case, the city attorney in Los Angeles, every time he'd lose in Washington, I'd get my ass kicked when he got home. Just bitching. And still freak the Supreme Court. They keep moving ahead, They're going to do it their way. Now comes California legislature, 1961. And the legislature here are geniuses, and they came up with some capital words. They said, what's the sense of making the artistic merit of a work a defense to a prosecution? Because after the guy's busted, his ass is in jail. Then he has to defend himself. Let's take it out of the defense to a prosecution, move it to an element of the offense. Now it's a crime to be utterly without artistic merit. That means the guy who makes the complaint, the burden is on his ass to prove it. He's got to schlep up 50,000 art critics. And after if they would accomplish that. Now, a lot of people say, well, geez, can't you find anything that's obscene? Is there nothing obscene? Why we have this desperate need for it now is because so many lawyers lost their ass on it that it seems only right that we should have it. I mean, can you tell me nobody can commit treason? I mean, Christ, I mean, and then to you nothing's treasonous. No, it's very tough. It's very tough to stop the information. That's where it's all at. Because the word the guy says is of no consequence. What the Constitution forbids is any bar to the communication system. They want nobody to abridge the right to say it one time and one time to hear it. Nothing in the middle. Nobody to tell you beforehand that this isn't too cool. Because the information makes the country strong. Because a knowledge of syphilis is not an instruction to get it. And only if the country can know about, that's why the church and the state have to be separated all the time. Because the church only wants a certain kind of information from their government. But since we have a lot of churches and a lot of different people in this country, we got to know about all the bad, bad shit. The worst of everything, the knowledge of it to be protected against it. Because if you don't have the knowledge of it, and you just know about the good, and they just let the good come through, seeping through what they think is good, you end up like Hitler. Because he really got screwed around by that. He kept saying, am I doing all right? You're doing great, they love you. Don't bullshit, mate, someday you'll like me. They love you, don't listen to those liars. Kill him who said that. And really got to separate the judicial, executive, and the legislature. And the most dangerous department, just the department itself, is the police, the district attorney. Not the man, but the department is very dangerous for him because it'll gobble him up. And the whole reason for the Constitution was that there was like one king. He was the execution of everything. So they said, how we'll do it now, we'll really make it safe. We vote on the rule, eat, sleep, and crap. That'll be the law, constant. Then if anyone busts us for eat, sleep, and crap, breaking the rule, they have to go first to the judge. The judge has to look up the book and then make a round robin. Otherwise, no one guy. But what happens, $200 police undercover girl investigation, $200 call girls. Now, there was no warrant for search. Now, the Fourth Amendment and all those things because of bad kiss-ass newspaper have been turned into protection for thieves. They're not. It's to protect the executive branch from becoming thieves. Because what happens is that without judicial superintendence, in other words, if the executive branch can make any inquiry at all without judge signing it, then he can go to the whorehouse every night. And he can spend $200 a night getting laid every night. When he gets caught, what are you doing? I'm investigating. But if he's got a whorehouse warrant for search, then there's no bullshit. Then when the crap rule comes in, you, and you, no, investigating, there it is, cool. Describing particularly what I was searching for, what the complaint was. Because what happens is that the money spent on a 2-month undercover investigation of hookers, maybe $15,000, now when you go to court, the whore is on the stand, she's not going to say she got $15,000. She's going to say, I didn't get a nickel. Cop's going to say, well, what do you expect from whores? Maybe he didn't get the 15 grand. And that's always the desperate need to control vice. That's what all pornography is. If you check the records, there's not one citizen that bought a dirty book. Every case has been initiated by the police department. So it's not literature, they just big smoke screen. There's money spent on those books. A fortune pissed away. How many copies of Henry Miller? And they don't even read them, it's all bullshit. $5, okay, $3, certificate, slip. And then when it really gets dangerous is, see what happens, it's the poor people who get like hung up with good and evil instead of right and wrong. It's like prohibition. Chicago is still crippled from that, from the disease of prohibition. Because what happened is that the moralists who thought they were moral didn't realize what was happening. They kept saying, yes, keep the prohibition on. Meanwhile, the cops are making bread at gamblers and nafkas and swinging. Because when it's the law out in front, then nobody has any excuse. No priest can be in a whorehouse blessing, kissing them, saving them. No cop can be, no bullshit. Everybody's up for grabs, that's it. Stay out of there. That means everybody. No protecting, no local home rule whores. My position is that since the Constitution says that, there has to be judicial superintendents, that then no peace officer has any place talking to anyone or making any inquiry whatsoever. Search warrant is prerequisite to the inquiry. Because if he's allowed to make any investigation, for a noise even, then he's allowed to make determinations of who looks suspicious. And the only people who look suspicious to Jews are Irish drunks. So it's all bullshit conclusions. Who could look suspicious? As soon as you have suspicious looking people like Nigger Town, Whore Town, Polack Town, Kike Town. Yeah, there's nobody. You can't hear the noise unless he sees the crime solid. Otherwise, he can take the police car and stick in two ex-convicts, friends of his, and say, look, here is the area that I'm sworn to protect. We're going to break in this warehouse, and I'll lay outside dead. We'll haul the shit away in my car. If anybody comes on us, we're investigating. And if we get caught in the interim, we just arrested you. All right? Solid, solid. Well, that's a Sally Stanford thing, for Christ's sake. They had a different gimmick there. The guy was an off-duty, had an off-duty detective agency. So that gave him an excuse to carry a piece. Yeah, it's really, it's a lot of bread, a lot of money. And what's happening is that the crime rate, see, has disappeared almost. And the task force that we hired are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's never any layoff in the police department. Well, here's what I figure happened to the crime rate. First thing, the basic need to steal is like for coal, you know, you're hungry, all right, so now the economy is up, so that went disappear. Okay, now the second need to break the law is for some sort of, you'd have some status, that you'd be some virility. Okay, the fact that now we have health and safety, give these people analysis, that screw that in the ass, because no one wants to be sick. So as soon as we help, that screwed up that whole scene. Now there's just nothing left. Narcotics, now they finished with heroin. There was, I think in 1951, there was probably about 7,000 dope fiends in the state and maybe 50 narcotics offices. Today, probably, there are about 15,000 narcotics offices and 4 dope fiends. 1,500 Nylene testing stations, loop-o-meters. And they got 4 dopey junkies left. Old time 1945 hippies. Okay, one guy works for the county undercover. The other guy works for the federal heat. Okay, so finally they went on strike. Look, we don't use dope anymore. We're tired. Come on out. We just after the guys who sell it. Schmuck, don't you remember me? Arrested you last week. I'm the undercover guy for the federals. I thought he was the county guy. It's like Sambo running around the tree. He works for the federal, he works for the county. Look, we're after the guys who sold it to you, okay. But nobody sold it to me. I bought it from him. I told you that. Well, we just point out one of the guys. Don't you know them? There's 4 of us. I told you that. Just tell us the names of the guys. Cooperate now. Tell us everybody. Okay, he was a Puerto Rican. He drove a green Buick. Okay, we'll wait for him, okay. That's 3 days, that schmucky investigation. Is that him? Well, I think it's, okay, I think he was Hawaiian anyway, okay. Okay, don't forget, if you hear from him, okay, I'll call you the first thing, okay. Okay, now they finished up with that nonsense, and I says, let's see, now we've got all these hospitals. You mean to tell me that you guys are gonna screw up a rehabilitation program? You mean to tell me that you're, if you're not using any dope, you certainly know some people who need help. We don't know anybody. We don't know anybody, please. I can't use any more dope. I don't like it anymore. Well, you really are selfish. That's really... You really don't care about anybody but yourself. You know, we have a center to rehabilitate people with 1,500 empty beds. I know I'm shitty that way. I'll try, but okay. Okay, so now they have dangerous drugs. Okay, now the insanity in that area is that the reason that heroin is verboten, it's no good for the people. It's It destroys the ego, and the only reason we ever get anything done in this country is that you want to be proud of it and build up to the neighbors. And if the opiate schleps all that away, and the guy goes, the top comment he'll come up with, the guy who builds the building, is, hey, that's cool, and that's it. So it's no good. It's no good for everybody, and that's why it's out. But that's, the source is no good. That's where it goes right to the source. But dangerous drugs, the connection is Park Lilly. It's Olin Mathison. The source is not bad for the people. So the only difference between the felon is the guy who can't afford a prescription. So they legislate against poor people, which is really schmucky. Marijuana, I don't smoke shit. I'm really glad that I don't smoke it. I'm really gonna, much about 5 years it'll be legal. But then no one will smoke it anymore, you'll see. You know, most of the law students I know smoke marijuana, that's why it'll be legal. Yeah. You know what I like to investigate? Zigzag cigarette papers. Yeah, bring the company up on it. Now, we have this report, Mr. Zigzag. Certainly, it must have been unusual to you that Zigzag Papers have been in business for 16 years and Bugler Tobacco has been out of business for 5 years. This committee comes to the conclusion that the people are using your Zigzag cigarette papers to roll marijuana tobacco in it. Oh, shit, that's right, lots of it. Rolling it and smoking it. You know, I really felt sorry for that cat, what was his name, Walden, you know, the Grand Kliegel, because it's a repeat of the communist witch hunt. The fact that the Ku Klux Klan, one guy lynched people, that means that everybody who ever belonged to it or knows about it lynched people, which is bullshit. So what they do, and it's really, when your ass is on the pan like that, I'm sure it's really frightening, especially when they take you. Where do they hold that investigation? Oh, that's really outrageous then, because they can't do that. It has to be in the district. He has to be tried by his peers no matter what in his district. Because when you take him out of his district is one trauma, because you take him in a whole different geography. And Southerners are the people of the earth. It's a different country. Religious people. And then the talk is different in the North, and they're rapping questions at him. He hears one out of every 10 words. And he's just really frightened. Just dig those schmucks. They're pissed off. You're really not real Ku Klux Klan, man. You're not spending the money on rope. You're having good times with it. Yeah, is that ridiculous? This poor cat didn't want to admit that he was an American citizen. He kept saying, I refuse, I decline. And that asshole Time magazine, really always make that seem shabby, the Fifth Amendment. And he declined so many times that he mumbled it and declined. Naturally, the cats want to admit anything, because the last time he admitted anything at the Constitutional Convention, they carpetbaggers screwed his granddaddy's ass. That was it, bye-bye. So he's very weary, you know, and wary of the North, because he knows it's a whole different scene. And it's amazing that the Southerner has no hostility for the Negro, the same way as the court has no hostility for me, they have the hostility for the people who defend me. That's why they yell all that shit, play drop the nigger, to bug them. So it's the banner fighting between those two people. Oh, a lot of dues. Lyndon Johnson, they didn't let him talk for the first 6 months. It took him 6 months to learn how to say Negro, Negro. All right. Okay, let's hear it one more time, Linda, now. Okay, all right, let him pose again, okay. Okay, Negro, oh. Now, say it quick, Negro. Okay. Negro. I can't help it, I can't say it, that's all.
I can't say nigger. I'm pissing in bed and everything is stuttering. I can't. What the hell? Nigger. Let me show my scar. No. Just say it and that's it. He's completely confused. Well, there really, that family is so. It's really. You know, there's a certain kind of non-Jewish look that they could pass any test. They are the biggest non-Jews in the world. No question, they walk right through the line, bap, bap. The wife with the white flannel sacks with a zipper up the front with the red nail polish, she's beautiful. She looks at home in a trailer park. Yeah. Nice act for me. Come here. Dig. This is so strange. Not the people necessarily involved with the religion, but the religion itself, Catholicism, is a genius religion. 3 years ago, I was wondering, I used to do a bit, 4 years ago, Religions Incorporated. So my view at that time was, here's a rich church, Catholicism, next door is poverty, so it's hypocrisy. So, obvious view. So I started digging, reading, getting into it. Then I realized the reason for the Baroque church, the grand church in the poverty neighborhood, is that what the church is a school, the method of instruction. And people who have no understanding, who need instruction, don't know about philosophy. They can only understand material things. So a raggedy-ass guy won't go into a raggedy-ass temple. He said, I'm living in a shithouse, what I gotta go in one for? But if you show him something nice he can understand, then you can instruct him. Okay. So the Ecumenical Council really are geniuses, and they make some tremendous moves. So I figure there's a group looks to undermine them. Somebody talked Lyndon Johnson's daughter into converting. That set the religion back 2,000 years. That dress she had on, the communion, she looked like a Guatemalan slave. It's a real Philomena at the wedding. It was terrible, like a National Geographic picture. He's just showing his scar is beautiful. That's just where it's at. He's just a shit kicker. He's just a. Yeah, it was a mistake. Yeah. Because the presidency is a very sophisticated. Yeah, Kennedy was just. Yeah, so just a genius at organization and just a sophisticated man. And sophistication just means knowledge, learning, a lot of background there. And the other guy is. I'd like to get some tapes of those people. What goes on? Yeah, that would really be a treat to hear them. I was just thinking of a guy, the picture of Oswald when he got shot. That's Lyndon Johnson's relation face, that other guy with a big, the guy with a cat on, he's like a big texture, and, oh shit. to be that obvious, to be able to react, and, oh, yeah. Forget that's practice, because someone get yelled at. why Ruby did it, this is subjective, but because he was Jewish, and I really like to tell you that, I want to tell Christians that, that why I can tell it to you because it's all over now, I wouldn't cop out when it was going on, but it is all over now. But up to about 6-7 years ago, there was such a difference between Christians and Jews that, but maybe you did know. But you forget about it. Just a line there that was just, and the brotherhood of Christians and Jews was like some fifth column bullshit. I don't know, it was like a phony dummy board. Yeah, because there's, no, I don't think so. I don't think the Christians did know it because only the group that's involved, it's like the defense council knows it because he has a narrow view, where the DA, he's hung up with a bigger practice. So it's the same with the Jew was hung up with his shit, and maybe the Christian, because when a Christian say like, oh, is he Jewish? I didn't know. I can't tell when somebody's Jewish. I was like, that's bullshit. But he can't.
because he never got hung up with that shit, you know. Who's he, Jewish? He's, and that's very, Jews are very hung up with that all the time. Why Ruby did it? See, when I was a kid, I had a tremendous hostility for Christians my age. The reason I had the hostility is that I had no balls for fighting, and they could duke. So I disliked them for it, but I admired them for it, and it was a tremendous ambivalence all the time of admiring somebody who could do that, you know, and then disliking them for it. In the neighborhood I came from, there were a lot of Jews, so the problem wasn't a big, big problem. And my elders were not concerned with punching. But Ruby came from Texas, and a Jew in Texas is a tailor. What went on in his mind, I'm sure, is that if I kill a guy that killed the president, the Christians will go, boy, what balls he had. We always thought the Jews were chicken shit, but look at that. A Jewish Billy the Kid rode out of the West. And the Christians will hug him and kiss him and love him, and boy, they'll say, oh boy, he saved everybody. But he didn't know, that was just a fantasy from his grandmother telling him about the Christians who punch everybody in. Even the shot was Jewish. The way he held the gun, it was a dopey Jewish man, like. You're a D'Artagnan. He probably went, nah, too. That means there in Jewish, like, nah, nah. Yeah, just. And Bella, I didn't. Yeah, he forgot the geography. No, it's the same kind of law, but it really is in the words. You just have to speak them slower in that area, and you have to dress. It's just a few kind of changes, but they don't change the substance of the law. It's like, as good a case I could have with you, if I pick my nose, it's although it's not dishonest, it's just going to lose it, you know. So, Belli didn't wear the right suit. Because anybody whose suit fits him good in the South looks like a damn pimp. And he should have known that, but the fact that he was offended with the judge chewing tobacco, because that's a natural thing down there. There was like a dopey picture I saw going around, and it said, this is your local police department, and it showed some kind of cops in a southern place, and they were laughing, and the guy was smoking a cigar. That was it. But that's just the behavior in the southern court. And the fact that everyone was laughing, they don't know that southerners are just, they're childlike in that area, they're not sophisticated with picture taking, they see, picture smile. That's why they were smiling in the picture, not arrogant, but they just supposed to smile and you take a picture. And the northerners are just hipper, they do the cool. So Belli trying to sell those jurors anything. The voir dire must have just broke their balls, you know. That qualifying must have really got them good and crazy, you know, you're 2 days, you know. Yeah, any attorneys here, forget that. If I was an attorney, I would grab the, he would be my pitcher. First place, no qualifying, I pick no challenges at all. First jurors are up, they're the jurors. You jurors, people think a lot of the community because you vote. That's why you're jurors. You give them all $100 apiece and get them laid and that's it. That'd be a terrible law professor, right? What do you say at the end there? Just give them $100 and get them laid. What was it? Professor, can we talk to you? The conclusion that you made there, the $100, get them laid, get them laid, it's all counts. But that don't fit with the beginning of the conversation. Well, it's all bullshit and got to figure it out. Okay? Oh, he's bottled out. Get him. Yeah, Belli talking to those people, he sounded to that jury like the southern attorney would sound to Greek, Irish, Italian, northern jurors. Look here now, jurors. I like Italian people. That's first off. I see we got some Italian people here by the. I'm going to tell you a cute little story now. This old buck nigger and this Jew boy. What the hell everybody gets so hot for? Just shut up, don't say any more. What did I say? It's a cute story. Everybody gets kicked out. No, they don't. Just shut up. I can't explain. You look south. Your hair's wet. I don't know what it is, that's all. Just dummy up, that's all. Faggots. Dick, isn't the argument against pornography that what the porn of selling the pornography, making it available to the public, is that the man is happily married or just a happy cat, and you come along now with some matter that the main thrust of the matter, the predominant appeal is to his prurient interest. And what you're doing, you're entrapping him. You're inciting him. Something that the guy wouldn't be thinking out ordinarily, you're getting him horny. You're getting it up, and you're not getting it off. And you're creating a clear and present danger, and it's worthless. And so that's the objection to it, and that's a valid objection. But the consistency necessarily follows that the guy who, when I hear about faggots who get arrested in toilets, and I say, how'd you get arrested in the toilet? Well, I accosted a peace officer. Well, that's certainly no concept of reality there. I mean, you certainly, well, I didn't know he was a peace officer. What do you mean? Well, he didn't have a uniform on. Well, he wasn't wearing a costume, was he? He wasn't wearing a low-cut gown. Because what a low-cut gown to a faggot must be is tight Levi's, a padded basket. Like, you know. I mean, he wasn't wearing Levi's, leaning up against the urinal, like, sultry, like that. Because if he was, that's bullshit, then. Because he was appealing to your prurient interest, then. And then trapping you, and you can't do that. You can't, you know. It's a funny thing, all the different stages that we've all... My generation was, well, me, I'm amazed at any guy who can go into a public toilet and do anything but piss and leave. Guys that can wash their hands are amazing to me. I just go, up, out, up. Don't, I want to talk to you, not in there, are you kidding me? Yeah, because somebody said, what are you doing in the toilet? I don't know. How are you doing in here? Did you make? Yeah, I did. All right, I'll hang around here, okay. So I saw, dig what I saw, a beautiful change. I went to, Phil Spector had like a big rock and roll jamboree at Tammy's filming it. So I went there and I see this 10-year-old kids there, all kids, like 9 and 10 years old, with no parents. So my first thought was, unattended, but I saw it's like a whole different generation. So everything is very cool. They're 9 and 10-year-old kids. It's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. My generation, children out at night, lurking in the bushes. I would never have the nerve to talk to any strange chick. She'd be a beautiful chick. I never had the nerve to hit on her. In a house, somebody introduced solid. But guys who can like drive past in cars and go hello even, the reason I have never had that nerve is that my mother and my aunt, the way they reacted to guys, the way they told me, every day they would come home and tell me stories about some guy that was behind the bushes exposing themselves. There was a band of dedicated perverts who spent their whole life trick positions. Okay, Jim, woohoo, hello, lady, there, the bushes there. Okay, Agent 7, you've got your position by the book. Oh, you're the newspaper, you flash the hat. Okay, woohoo, yeah, here we are. Find the schmuck in the bush. Yeah. Invidious discrimination. It's all waiting for them. So I know what everything is. I said, Mima, you've got the market cornered. We'll film these guys. I mean, they're amazing. The elevator doors open up. Yahoo! There we are. And they, how do they, when they separate my mother and my aunt, one's running this way, they got pocketbooks and they're ready, boy. That pocketbook. I figured after all these years, they were really bullshit stories. It's like little guys always telling about, and I said, look, you big prick, you. It was, the little guys always telling about the knock the shit of this big guy. So it's my mother and me telling nonsense stories about the pocketbook, and I give a hamalio pow. Maybe that was a dopey lie, telling they were good women every day, right? This guy and I give a hamalio that pocketbook, and a dopey big black pocketbook at everybody. With a good parrot scream. I know my aunt never did it to anybody, ever. I just know it. I know it. She was bald. My aunt was bald, a bald-headed lady, little teeny, teeny hair. And wrinkled in a cameo. A little lady, she's very neat, you know, and you got like that all the time. There aren't those kind of people with tics anymore. So, well, guys, really got. You drive across country with those guys, you've had it, right? So, you know, it's, the tickers. They're gone, all those. I think midgets are gone. And there are only certain kinds of midgets that are really real midgets. I was wondering, there are no Jewish midgets. A true midget is, he's got dirty blonde hair and neat as a pin. And little brown shoes, and they're this big. I wonder if, are pygmies midgets, colored midgets? Wouldn't a color cat get offended? Listen, any of your relations, midgets? Wouldn't Governor Wallace shit demonstrating a bunch of pygmies? Ah! give him salt, that's all. It's, man. Yes, really. Little teeny midgets, those kind I'm talking about, they're really patties with their strange hands. And where do they get their bread from? Who supports them? Phew. They don't pay any income tax at all. There's a lot of people screwing our government. So don't be too nice to them, because we'll drag you up before the House Un-American Activities Committee just for encouraging them. By omission, it was your duty as a citizen to bust their ass. Demand. Where are you getting your money from? They hate to be picked up. They hate that. That's why I hate them, because they don't want to be hugged. I picked one up, so he got mad. Put me down, okay, but you're so cute. I'm picking up. Comb their hair with soap. Bela Lugosi's son is an attorney. That weird, he passed the bar. He must have your dopey jokes all the time. I love that when he got arrested. He was a dope fiend, Bela Lugosi. I saw that. I was shit, the monsters are shh. It was the worst advertisement rehabilitation. He was a dope fiend for 70 years. He cleaned up and dropped dead. The scene is, I just, you know, I was relating to Christ, but then I, did you read that in the paper about the, was it geologists? Well, this is a vague recollection I have, that it was the custom at the time Christ is crucified for Jewish women to give the people who are about to be crucified a drug that would put them in a death-like trance. And that this happened, that Christ's mother gave him the drug, and that he was, you know, so. That's, wow, it's amazing that if that's true. Ruby gets paid back. How the Negro and the Jew got into show business. The Negro had a boss that worked him 20 hours a day. So he wanted to get off a couple of hours. And a guy came, get back to work. He said, I don't feel good today. I'm on that bullshit. Get back to work. He kept coming up with different gimmicks. My kid's sick. Get back to work. Kept trying to come up. How can I? Hello, Lord. Hey, I didn't know you guys could sing. Hello, hello. Hey, put the hoe down. Come on, let me hear that again. May my Lord. Can he sing? Oh, he sings. Come on. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Get some wine. This is okay. A party, and the weeds went over everybody, right? And sang their ass right off the farm. Now, the Jew had a HIPAA boss. You couldn't bullshit the Egyptian that quick, no. You kept working at it, working at it. Never mind a horse shit. Thank you. We got the pyramids to build, and that's where it's at. Get it up, takes your generation, next generation. Do a nice workmanlike job here. Oh, thank you. Get out of here, the horse shit. Stop it now. Coming very fine, very fine. What a gig, right? You know, you got another 40 years on the job. What? Well, that's a. You still can't get a piece of straw through there. So the Jew kept working at being charming, working at it, and didn't never carry it off. But he got so good at it, that was his expertise. He says, hey, let's go watch the Jew be charming. Hey, Jew, do that charming bit for us there. We know you're bullshitting, but you do it so good, we get a kick out of it. So now the Jew has got theater. He's the actor. He's the charming actor. Now he has the show business industry knocked up. He has the film industry. He controls it. He's writing the pictures. And he's making the images, the people that are good people and bad people. Now, you never see any Jewish bad guys in the movies, whatever, ever. ever. And you see a lot of pictures about Christ, a ton of religious pictures, in the most respectful position. And the reason that is, I'm sure, the way of the Jew saying, I'm sorry. That's where it's at. And I wanted to do a film showing, because I'm sure that day in the cell, it's just like in the tank, you know, like four, five, six people in the cell there. And there was cessness, disness. And they said, okay, you're going to get crucified. This guy was probably crapped out in the corner, cessness. Okay, you too, what? You're going to get crucified today. Get my file down here, bullshit. Okay, get ready, all you guys. You're all getting crucified in the cell. Look, I'm the good thief. What are you bullshitting me for? I'm in here for checks. Come on, you get ready, getting crucified. I'm not getting crucified. Get my file down here. I'm the good thief. I'm here for petty theft. You understand? Checks. I'm going to get crucified now. I don't know what the hell this guy's doing, but it's good luck to him. Okay, now he sees it getting all ready, and they're moving him. Hey! What the hell are you kidding with this shit? I'm not getting crucified. Hey, mister, do me a favor. There's a mistake here. They think that I'm with you for some reason here. And Christ says, don't worry, you'll be with me. Come on with that. I'm not with you. But tell him. Come on, it's no joke now. We're going up the hill here. He's praying, and everybody's praying, and pushing him. Like, come on. Hey, get the public defender. Come on, this is bullshit now. Okay, now up on the cross. Hey, mister, please, before it's too late, do me a favor, okay? Tell him. He said, don't worry, you're with me. Stop saying that, will you? I'm not with you, okay? I mean, I'm with you, I like you, but stop telling these assholes that I'm with you. They think I'm with you means that I'm with you, I conspired with you, I don't know. Look, don't be pushy, I like you, okay? I don't know what you're talking about, I woke up, all I know, I'm getting crucified, I'm here for checks, I can't get crucified. I'm being denied due process, I'm entitled to do my time for checks first. And I don't want to get crucified, I can't go now, okay? I'll meet you later. Come on, don't be pushy now, okay? Okay, mop, they all went. Another guy came back. Hey, you're right. I know you weren't bullshitting, but I had a lot of faith in you, but you meet a lot of weird people in the joint, you know. You relax, I'll talk to the press, that's all. He started to wonder about if the Messiah is going to come back. Moses is hanging it up. They try to get him back about five times already. And he will not come back because he's embarrassed, because Charlton Heston is 6'3", he's 5'1". And he's vain. I can't, I'm a schmuck, I'm a big old... No. It's what you got up here, no. I ain't got no clothes anyway, I look weird. I get my teeth fixed, no, no. It's a quick flash, it's a... The Pope is too much. It looks like the Birdman of Alcatraz and Eichmann combined. Yeah. He wavers, he's just, I don't, arriva, arriva, I don't... He's really cute, just a little bird. I wonder what was going on in his head there. Spellman looks like Shirley Temple. He's like, That's like I get in trouble for in New York, just saying that. But a priest told me that. That's what burns me up. That's what really pisses me off. I said, Spellman, you mean Shirley Temple? That's funny, Shirley Temple. That's good imagery, right? The post office. Do you know how much I love the post office? I love the postman so much. I really feel like that's the only place where the authority and the man are one. That's the man. They're incorruptible. I don't know anybody who knows a postman's name. They're really snotty, man. Just, who would have the audacity? Come on, have a drink. Leave the truck there and... I feel that the postman, the people who work for the postman, and it's amazing, they're maintaining any order there. No police authority, just cool, post office. There's always a Japanese guy behind the registry window, and it's a trick thing. You have a treaty. One Jap, one... Yes, but I know that they're the true law, because with the law is not concerned with your purpose, how noble it is. And the postman wouldn't let a package go 3 cents light for the rabbi's priest's ass. He won't get off it, Jim. Are you kidding? You want all those people to die for 4 cents? Sorry. Who would have the audacity to ever try to cross that line? Look, I know where the package is. Are you kidding with that? Open the box up right now. It's mine. No one would even say that to him. You know, he didn't need a gun. He just goes, hmm. Just that. There's always a certain kind of weight. I wish somebody... If I ever heard of a theft, the post office, I'd die. What? Oh, yeah, they opened up the mail and they've been reading letters. And, oh, nah. At the post office, going through snow and sleet. But they don't like when dogs bite them. That's one thing they won't put up any shit. The dog bites, that's it. We're not delivering any more mail to you. Think what balls a sheriff in Sacramento County had. His dog bit the postman. Postman says, no more mail. It's bullshit. We'll give you no more protection. Schmuck, they don't need it. They got the stamps hidden. I have a book here I want to show you. Debbie is a Nun. It's another trick, another Lyndon Johnson trick. This is the best magazine. What if you catch me reading this shit all the time? This is your reading material? It certainly is. Photoplay, you kidding? You've got guts. Editorial page. Who are the ads? Q-Tex. World's most... Oh, it's all lady kind of ads. Adjustable dress form. I didn't finish the story about the Nun story here. Let me find it. There are no more movie stars. Doris Day. Rock Hudson, why Elvis locked himself in his bedroom for 3 days. Patty Duke, the feud is too good to be true. Okay, it's the end of the two stories. Now the fold-out postman. Just a moment. Study of art. Hudson. Blew it. It's not an interesting thing, I can't lie to you. I'll try one more time. Okay, let's see. Dorothy Malone's first interview after her brush with death. Frozen. A balcony up there. Hope none of you guys are doing your usual tricks in the balcony. Don't bring any heat on me, you know. Do your pervert stuff in the newsreel theater, but not... You know, you got a time and a place, you know. Okay. Oh, okay. I increased my... With the fabulous Mark Eden method, I increased my bust measurement from 34B to a full 36D. Just 8 weeks. I always give you time limits, right? Just know you got something to look forward to. The 8th week, bing, boom. Barbara Hayes received her Mark Eden bust developer in course on April 1st, 1965, which time her bust measurement was 34B, and 8 weeks later, on May 20th, 1965, her bust had increased to a full and lovely goddamn, a lovely 36D. That bitch is hunchbacked. But we kept our promise. We didn't say it's coming here somewhere. The Mark method just builds your back up. This amazing increase. I know that the guy that makes a copy for these must know that he's going to be read in jail, because that's the only guy who's got time to read all of that shit. Just forever and ever and ever. The This amazing increase in bus size in Kanto is achieved solely through the faithful use of the Mark Eden bus developer. And of course, during that time, Barbara was adding these firm and lovely inches to her bus line. Her weight did not change. Her eating and living habits did not change. The only change she made in her life was to spend a few minutes each day practicing the fabulous Mark Eden method of bus line development, the privacy of her own home. As you can see from her after, in quotes, photo, she has certainly achieved a most attractive, full and shapely bust line for her efforts. She's doing those real numbers like that, you know, hunch over and the elbows pushing forward and standing on her head. Barbara Hayes is one of the many, many hundreds of women across the United States who have ordered the Mark Eden bus developer and who, through its use, are reporting gains. That's good, devious writing. Barbara Hayes is one of the many, many hundreds of women across the United States who have ordered the Mark Eden bus developer, comma, and who, comma, through its use, comma, are reporting gains of 2, 3, 4, and even more. That one letter we got was tough. She says, you name it, it's not stopping. We get letters from women who are flat-chested and now feel like real women for the first time because of Mark Eden. Who are you, Mark Eden? Ah, damn you, rascal, you. Are there any real tits left? Damn your silicone. Are they real? I told you they're real. How will I ever know, though? They're real. Well, you take a lie detector test, those are your own tits. Yes, I told you it. I can't believe you. Can't believe anything. Oh, no. They're too real to be real. You know, the thing in this is, I don't see any chicks that turn me on anymore, you know. Here's how I know I'm getting old. Because I really did go through that. I said, I haven't seen any girls that really stimulate me, that look good to me, you know. And you get, it's really corny, but dig what I miss. Lipstick and powder. Is that weird? I like them with paint on them. To smell like ladies. Literally lipstick and powder. I mean, if I really get racy, pancake makeup. And a cheap black crepe dress that's low cut. Make a book up, see? And the book on this face will look like it's one of those very, you know, erudite. How to make out, sane sex marriage, those kind of nut books. You know. But if you follow the instruction in this book, you never make out at all, ever. It's really constructed so that's a zero, no score. Sell it for $45 in plain brown paper. Now what it says in the answer is instructions. Always go over the house for dinner and meet the folks. And don't forget, when you go over the house and meet the folks, you compliment, it's just the dialogue the guy's supposed to use. Say to the father, you know, oh, Mr. Johnson, boy, your daughter's got a terrific shape on her. God bless her, boy, she got a body, I'm telling you. And your wife has got a nice shape on her, too. Then, when you're out on the date, they like little jokes. There's certain kinds, maybe not for this generation, my generation, certain kind of things you just couldn't say, just verboten, just cringe, embarrassing things that no one ever, here's a kind of stab your heart joke. Just keep saying, what do you got, the rag on? Keep saying it, they like that. They like people frank. What do you got, the rag on? What do you got? Keep saying it all night. You know, it's, oh, good. And then when you're in the car, if you just ask them in a nice way for it, just say, and be cute about it, use euphemisms, double entendre. Say, oh, I wonder if I could get some nookie. That's very cute. Oh, boy, I wonder who'd give me some nookie, boy, I wonder. And they just think that's so cute, and you'll get it right away. And just say extra things like, boy, I appreciate it. That always good. Boy, I'd appreciate that, boy. I'd tell everybody what a nice person you were, too. I think that a lot of marriages went west, you know, they went split up in my generation, because ladies didn't know that guys were different. I mean, different. It's very tough for chicks to realize that although we speak the same language, that you can have babies. It's different. It's like no guy ever cheated on his wife, ever. But ladies would get hurt and want to leave the husband because they thought the husband's cheated, and they never did cheat. Because what cheating means, I know, to a lady means kissing and hugging and liking somebody. You have to at least like somebody. Guys, that doesn't enter into it all the time. No. Ladies are one emotion, and guys detach. Not consciously detach, but they just do detach. Like, a lady can't go through a plate glass window and go to bed with you 5 seconds later. But guys can have head-on collisions with Greyhound buses in disaster areas. Everybody's laying dead on the highway. Not only the hospital and the ambulance, the guy makes play for the nurse. Like, how could he do a thing at a time like that? I got horny. What? You're hot. How could you be hot when your foot was cut off and you're dead? I don't know. He's an animal! He got hot with his foot cut off. I guess I'm an animal. What did you get hot at? The nurse's uniform. It's a moron, that's all. He's just an animal. Guys detach and has nothing to do with them liking, loving. You put guys on a desert island, they'll do it to mud. Mud. So if you caught your husband with mud, somehow you could get overseas there. Mud! Don't talk to me, that's all. You piece of shit, you leave me alone, that's all. Go with your mud, have fun. You want dinner, get your mud to make dinner for you, that's all. It's just you can't get angry at them. You can't want to leave them for that at all. It's actually subjective, but in retrospect, I really get a kick out of it. That getting divorced, the only true get-even device, because I'm really convinced that no guy ever leaves a chick, you know. When chicks get cold, they really get cold. It's over, really. When it's over with them, it's over. And guys can't ever figure that out. They always figure there's one more time there. And the guy's like, so can't, what? Bonk, bonk, bonk. Yeah, because here's what I figured is. You always hear chicks say, you know, oh, I wish I could meet a man, you know, some dignity, and this guy, you know, guy can walk all over, you know, just be really a man. But chicks don't know that it's guys are like dogs. You know, you take a dog, you beat the shit out of him, pow! Pow, keep coming back. Ladies are like cats. You yell at a cat once, Siamese cat, psh, they're gone. So that kind of quality that ladies are looking for, you really want a guy to act like a lady. Because there's a ladylike trait, that kind of spunk and they don't need anything. And I forgot what the fuck I was talking about, it's very good. And I blew it completely. Where was I? I went up to the ladies. It's television shows. Once in a while, if I lose it, you know, and I try to bullshit and do this a while, but then it was really gone, it's gone. So, yeah. You see, that's what the problem of being a performer, and a judge can get away with that shit, you know. They're just completely dunced out, you know. So I'll take that under consideration. Let's see, I was here. Oh, yeah, I got it, okay. I won't lose it again, but I'm trying to think where the thread of it was. Oh, yeah, okay. The get even. So the only get even you can have with a chick, because they leave you, are the kids. That's the only get even. That's the sweet revenge. Get the kids. So you can't be that obvious with it, you know, just get the kids, because I'm going to get even with you, you shithead, you. So all the structuring of the foundation is, I went over there, the kid's wet. Schmuck, and all of a sudden the kid's not gonna live like that. Every time I go, the kid's wet, kid's wet. Every time she don't take care of the kid's wet, and that's it. I'm taking that kid away from her because the kid's wet. I'm just having guys over there. You sure any guys know, but you know, when the kids are wet, and that's it. Okay, take the kid, I got custody of my kids now, I love my kids.
They're not going to be with that tramp anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Where are the kids with my grandparents? Very good. Now it's usually what happens is breakup time. There's like the first, if you're going to break up with your old lady, you live in a small town. Make sure you don't break up 3 o'clock in the morning because you're screwed. There's nothing to do. You sit in the car all night, park somewhere. Yeah, so make at least, you know, make it about 9 in the morning, so you can go to 5 and 10 and bullshit around. And, you know, worry him a little, come back at 7 at night, you know. Well, you never mind. Getting an apartment, that's all. It's, yeah, because if you, the bad breakup, then there's like a long time breakup. If you married 7 years, you got a kick for 2. Oh, yeah. I think there must be a mitzvah time. I think if you married 15, 18 years, you get divorced, then you must lose your mind. Yeah, they get senile in the people. They get whacked out. There's a certain critical area, they marry about 7 or 8 years, where you really throw up for a couple of years. Or really just, you know. And the way, if you broke up and you go anyplace alone, there's always momses that ask about your wife. Where's your old lady? And there's some Chinese restaurants. Where's Mama? How come you're a big mom in here anymore? Such a beautiful girl running around here with Mama. But I'm divorced. Oh, you better off. You don't need her. Where's Mama? Now, if you go back together, the danger time, and here's back to the religion again. There's only one person you're supposed to confess to. There. Not anybody else. Well, priests solid, but not husbands. No, they have no authority vested in them to hear any truth. So don't listen to any of their shit, you know, because what happens when it's go back together, guy calls up and says, hello, Vera, the only reason I called you, listen to your crap over here. I don't know, a handkerchief or gloves. Listen, I'm going to come over, shoot the shit, okay? Let's see, pay the tax bill. All right, back together. Maybe kissing time, hugging time, in bedtime, after bedtime. Hey, Vera, when we were broke up, did you make with a lot of guys? I don't be silly, so I didn't mind to make with anybody. I mean, don't bullshit me. That's what the hell is. Good for the goose, good for the gander. We were legally separated. I made it with a lot of chicks. You're entitled to make with a lot of guys. I just like to know for the hell of it. Did you make with a lot of guys? I didn't make with anybody. Come on, don't bullshit me. I'm not going to hit you now. I don't know. I'm not going to get mad just for the hell of it. Who did you make it with? Don't tell them. Don't cop out. Never cop out if they got pictures. Deny it. Flat out. Just tell them it's some fag hairdresser. That's all. That's just it. Because you ever do cop out, oh, yeah. Come on, I'm not going to get mad. Tell me. I just like to know for the hell of it. See, that's what chicks don't know about guys. It's that entrapment. Maybe it's because their fathers do that to them. Just tell me who. Him? I don't give a shit, but this is... It's a shocker. That's the only thing that shocks me. I'm a man, but it's... What a kick in the ass that is. How the hell could you... You know what? You know why it shocks me? Because you told me you didn't like him. You told me you didn't want him over the house. And you go, how could you make it with him? That fat, disgusting piece of you cunt. Bow! There's a peace bond, schlepping away time, and oh yes, and the Jewish mother in the middle with the teeth flying out, the chenille robe, and yes, ha ha. It must be, I was wondering, if you get married again, the only problem with ever getting married again, if you go, you have to go to some country where you'd be, you have to marry somebody who speaks a different language and doesn't speak any other language. Just in case, you'll always be afraid because with the second old lady, then you might say something in bed and your wife would jump up behind the bed. You, well, you said, oh, how could you say that to her and you said it to me? I just bullshitted her. I don't love her. I just said that because I knew you were behind the bed, that's all. Hmm. Jewish mothers. There are none. That's the expose. Oh, another expose. I want to really confess to people one thing you never knew about me, and I have a pen name, Ralph Gleason.
I'm Ralph Gleason. And I always wanted to, and you're taking it good. I always thought you'd get pissed off at me for that. In fact, I wrote the column for years and then just drifted into this and decided that I'd like to do a little comedy on the side and you liked me and I thought I was doing good, so what the hell, a few write-ups don't hurt anybody. And you're taking it good, that's lovely. I want you to know that another thing, too, that I've never been in jail, I've never been arrested. That's all bullshit. What it is, see, I got a publicity agent that's dynamite. And we have 9 phony cops that work for Pinkerton. And we go from town to town, the same bullshit, you know. I get busted, I write the column the next day, and that's where it's at. A few words now about Alaska and their stupidness. Alaska, if you know that, there are people up there that we've given a lot of money to and try to help them. Given a lot of money to Alaska to create some kind of image. We gave them statehood and they're morons. They got one image after all these years, some schmuck in front of a shack holding a fish. It's all they come up with, and some other nonsense fantasy that hookers get $2,000 a minute for talking to people. If you probably go up there, there's 10 million stranded whores waiting to talk to somebody. What's the deal? I thought there was supposed to be some talking. We just got bullshitted, right? Nobody, just hookers up here. And Admiral Byrd. He don't go for a nickel. Yeah, here's a thought. This is hearsay. Somebody told me, see, they were using, the report was monkey glands on people so, you know, rejuvenate and they live longer. Okay. Now somebody told me, come back from Mexico, that they're using human glands. So yeah, I says, well, where did they get them? It has to be from live people. Well, people that was, you know, dying and it's very expensive. So that's what I said, well, does it cost me $1,000? So I hit a lot of people like dying, the hospitals, bap, plop, pop. Yeah, that's just dead, he's almost dead. Sure, you're gonna see, is the more demand, the first place to stay insane asylums will get emptied out quick. Yeah, that's the first thing. All the nut houses emptied out. All died very quickly. Oh, yeah, definitely. Because it's all we have to do, see, our moral concept is what's accepted, what we will agree upon. That's what the moral concept is. If we agree that killing a few will save the biggest, then we'll agree on it. Like, that was the objection that Catholicism had for many years. That contraception is murder. It doesn't matter the degree of the murder. But since we all agreed on it now, contraception bullshit in school. So it's just a degree. So if it comes right down to it, if we want to live a little longer, it won't be accepted. Just the sophisticated class, the gentry will cook with it first, you know. Yeah, listen, I know a place. Yeah, and as soon as, when the first time the government controlled, then they'll have the farms. You're raising people to live. It's a good liver, good heart. You'll accept it, yeah, you see. When it comes right down to the go, you go bye-bye, these people don't know anything. They're raised for that purpose. Yeah, you sure? I'm telling you. They like that. Okay, I want a paper saying that he gave it up. I can't take the guy's liver and his heart and his balls, all that stuff. Sure, are you kidding? Better off without it. He gets it the next time, don't you know that? 9,000 years we've been living now. Yeah, it's a...